Hey everyone, I'm Ryan Durkee coming to you from the HTL studio in Toronto. And on today's episode of Here to Listen, that's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen, I'm joined by R&B singer-songwriter Jared Daniel. What if we grow? Now, the last year has been a busy one for Jared as he approached close to 500,000 streams, performed for sold-out crowds, and opened for the likes of R&B stars Mario and T-Pain. And now he's here to share his story with us. Please welcome to the show, Jared Daniel. Hey, Jared.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'd love to start by you sharing more about your early story, which I find really interesting, and in how you got into music.
Yeah. My early story. So I grew up one of four boys. I have three brothers. And my dad, he's a musician. So he toured around, plays guitar, sings still. I think he's like close to 65 and he's still doing it.
Wow.
And so, yeah, growing up, I was definitely just around music all the time and musicians hanging out at the house. And so I was kind of just like introduced to the positive aspects of like the vibe that surrounds music from an early age. It wasn't like you need to go to piano lessons, you need to go to this, you need to do that, kind of like a mathematical approach to music. It was more just like vibes and like introducing me to what that feels like and sounds like and tastes like. So that's kind of what hooked me on music from a very young age. And then from there, I think me and my brothers, we rebelled against my dad and just played sports for a long time. I played football, I played college basketball. And,
oh yeah.
As your body sort of falls apart, for me, I realized, you know, music was a bit more sustainable and really close to my heart. So yeah, 2020 was kind of when I formally came out and released music for the first time, and in the pandemic. And I've just been writing that since then.
What was your dad's reaction at that point? Was he like, I always knew it, I always told you?
Yeah, I think, yeah, he started to get more involved, and he plays with me sometimes too. Like, he plays bass really well. But I think for him, it's music is just like, whether you're doing it like in the public's eye and like commercially, or if you're just doing it for fun, I think for him, it's the exact same thing. And yeah. So he does it. Yeah. It's just, you know, whether I think for him, and then I'll probably adopt this myself, like whether I'm successful at this thing or not, it won't make any difference, because it'll just be something we do until we're old and gray. Right. Or he's already old and gray, but yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell him that.
I won't tell him that. He probably will. I hope he doesn't watch it.
Yeah. So you talked about sports and how that really got you into music. And mm-hmm. I believe it was, you know, you were playing basketball, and Space Jam was a big movie back then. And so you started listening to the Space Jam soundtrack, right? And that sparked some of your desire to actually sing R&B.
Yeah, I was immersed in sports for sure. And so then basketball more so than football. I was a kid, so I liked cartoons, got the movie, got the soundtrack, introduced to Monica, D'Angelo, R. Kelly, these songs. And I was just amazed. And from there, I just naturally started to listen to, you know, the whole sort of menu of amazing R&B talent that was going on at that time in the early 2000s. Like Brian McKnight, Avant, Music Soulchild, you know, Usher, just the list kind of goes on and on and on. And so, yeah, I think from that, I just had so many amazing options, especially at that time. And then I think, you know, Chris Brown came along and sort of for a moment there eclipsed like all of these other amazing R&B talent. But it looks like they're kind of all coming back. Like, I think Music Soulchild's dropping an album right away here too. And but yeah, that was kind of my journey. As like, it might be a little bit confusing, like a Calgary Western Canadian, you know, white male singing R&B music instead of country music, is definitely a little bit of how I think my journey was shaped from a young age. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you talking about how, you know, not having the money to be able to play, you know, a sport like hockey that can be quite expensive. And so you ended up playing basketball. Do you think that if you would have gone a different route in the world of sports, that your musical journey would have been different?
Yeah, for sure. Like you go to an NHL game and like in the breaks, it'll be like AC/DC playing, right? But you go to like a Raptors game and as you're going up the court, you got, you know, Drake playing, right? So,
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like definitely stereotyping or typecasting of like this type of sport has this type of music. Not always the case, but just like in general, I guess, especially when you're just playing the sport and not really paying attention to music, like you're just sort of caught up in whatever is going on. I
Yeah.
think it just like it gets into your head eventually to the point where it's like a part of you. It's not like something you're trying to like put on or,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And I can like, you know, I think it's cool, especially now when like rock and some like punk rock sort of fuses into R&B and like some of these cool fusions that happen. For sure. But I think what I noticed is like after just like living the life that I lived, the unique life that I lived, and sort of like opening my eyes and looking at my peers that kind of are like me and seeing how we're so completely different and just wondering why, I started to kind of think about it, like, how did that actually happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Would you ever be jamming out on the court? Like a song would come on the speakers and you'd
Yeah.
be jamming out on the sidelines?
I think it's a big thing. Yeah. Like anyone who played basketball knows, like just warming up and some of these like burnt CDs we used to have from like LimeWire and I guess Napster, LimeWire at the time, like you'd burn a CD and throw it on like the high school gym's system or whatever it was and play this rap music. And some of it was just like the worst swear words, like craziness. And like your parents are in the stands. You're just like, what's going on? Yeah, that was those are like really, really good memories. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that always being a thing, like at the talent shows, having to try to find the non-explicit version to play.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Best memories. Or like the CD player that had like five. You like throw all five CDs in and it's just you pick, yeah. I still love the way you love me. I still love the way you hold me. I try to run away, but you control me. I still love the way you love me.
You talked about sports and that being a big part of your upbringing. And I know that you've described sports as poetry in motion and said R&B and basketball are synonymous. So what did you mean by that?
I think it's very flowy. I mean, you could probably argue this for anything. Like, I guess hockey is very like glidey, flowy. Like they're literally just gliding. And and ice is very smooth, you know? So you could probably argue that R&B is for hockey too. But I don't know. I think basketball is sort of like dancing. I'm pretty sure. Like certain movements, if you do them a certain way, they have to be in a bit of a cadence, I guess, in order to like manipulate the person who's defending you.
Yeah.
Because like they're expecting you to like shoot. So if you kind of move your body in that direction, they move their body in that direction and you need to do it like that to get them to do that so that you can now do this. So it has to be like coordinated. And I think because basketball movements are so similar to dancing, that's why it works with R&B music. I'm literally thinking of this answer like on the spot. And I'm pretty sure people don't dance so much to like rock music, or if they do, they're just like flailing their arms or something like that. You know, and people dance more to R&B music than they do to the rock music. That's my answer. Final answer.
Do you have moves?
Not really. I kind of just like, you know, I kind of just sway, you know, I'm like 6'4", so I'm not like a small person. And so I just kind of like move, you know,
Can we see like what your moves
some
would be?
Moves?
Yeah,
Just
yeah, yeah.
Like, For me, I'm just like literally just like moving my head, just kind of like grooving. I think it's like whenever I'm like trying to dance, that's when it all goes wrong. But when I just like let the music literally like consume my body and just like, just literally like honestly feel it, I yeah. feel as though I'm dancing, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was like Jay-Z, right? Like he said, like in the studio, if like his neck doesn't hurt, he's like not going to be about the song.
Oh, really?
So it's like if it doesn't literally attack your body, then like the beat probably sucks.
So is that how you judge your song sometimes?
Yeah, literally. Like if I'm listening to a beat, someone sends it to me, like I gotta, you know what I mean? I gotta, it needs to make me move at least a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I feel that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a quick break. I'd like to thank everyone for listening or watching this episode and ask that you support the podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, following on Spotify, leaving a review, subscribing on YouTube, following us on social media. Those are just a few ways that you can support, and it's all free. So follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, subscribe on YouTube. The username is Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D. For those listening, I'm putting up a heart right now. Thank you. Now back to the show. And, you know, being involved in athletics, were you ever judged for also having a passion for singing?
It's pretty funny. So I played like junior football. It's kind of like equivalent to, like junior college football. And again, I was really just trying to follow in my older brother's footsteps. Like he played Division I football in Michigan and like amazing athlete. I was like, I want to be cool like that. Like I was always in his shadow, but like, he's such an amazing guy. So it was like a really awesome shadow to be in. I genuinely do love sports. I should say that too. Maybe just not as much as he does. So yeah, I was playing football and, like, for example, we'd be on like a trip, we'd be traveling to go play like a team in Vancouver or something like that. And our bus, like these, you know, Greyhound type buses, they have that little microphone at the front.
Yeah.
Right. And so like oftentimes it would just be like a joke. These big like macho like football dudes, right? They'd be like, "Oh, Jared, like sing us a song." So it was like a bus full of like men, you know. I was like, "This is how we do it," or something like that, and they're just like, "Yeah," and I was just freaking out. And so it's kind of like it was accepted, but it was like, "Oh, that's that funny thing that Jared does. Like he sings really well, you know." But it's like, never in a million years will he ever like take it seriously. Like it's just like a, you know, that dude's double jointed. That guy can sing really well in a funny kind of way. That guy can do this. That guy can do that. It was just kind of like that.
So what gave you the confidence to actually, you know, take it seriously? If everyone around you was kind of just taking it as a joke, what gave you the confidence to actually come out and show off your music publicly like that?
I think in Calgary here, it's a pretty welcoming scene. Like, you know, no one is too, I don't know how to say this in a positive way. Like we're very, like just kind, welcoming people. I hope that's the experience that anyone listening to this has had in Calgary.
Yeah.
You haven't been hanging out with the right people in Calgary if it's not your experience. But so there was a place called Koi or Cafe Koi at the time. And it was just a very chill place where you could go and play like an open mic set on a Tuesday night. And I had a friend, Moel. So he's an artist in Toronto, incredible Ethiopian Canadian R&B folk soul sort of artist in Toronto, Moel. If you haven't listened to his music yet, you need to.
Yeah.
But he, I would just kind of go and watch because I think I always wanted to be an artist and be on stage and stuff like that, but it's all like baby steps, right? So I would just go and watch. And I probably would have continued to just watch and never actually get up and perform if I hadn't seen Moel perform first and been so like just taken by his performance, his voice, everything. And then, you know, chatted him up afterwards and then we became good friends. And then he just decided to like really encourage me and for whatever reason, like push me in that direction. But in like a really chill way, like, oh, hey, just like come up and sing with me. Like, yeah, no big deal. And so I just like go up and sing with him. And it probably at first sounded like horribly. And after it wasn't just me and him, maybe I had the courage to like go up myself, just guitar and sing, and still probably sounded just, you know, like cats in a bag, who knows? Or like some semblance of something there, enough to kind of, I mean, the people there were just so welcoming. So they're like, whatever you do, they're just going to go crazy, applaud and everything like that. So super encouraging to just be in that environment every Tuesday, go back, you know, the week leading up, try to prepare something. I think that's really what excelled me rapidly, just doing that. And then Jorge, my, you know, vocal coach, opera singer from Argentina, he's like 65 years old, 70.
Oh, wow.
And he's got an incredible voice. And so just going to him for probably the last 3 years and him just helping me like work out my voice. I think those two things combined, and then throwing myself into like crazy situations like, oh, do you want to open for Mario? It's like, sure. It's like, yeah, one of the greatest singers of all time. It's like, perfect. I mean, that's maybe like the extent of like how scary it's got. But yeah, I think just doing things that terrify me, and maybe I'm like an adrenaline junkie, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We could dig into that. I don't know. Possible.
I mean, it ties into your love for sports too, and true, you know, getting that adrenaline. And I think you mm-hmm. had said before that you had gotten injured. Is that right? Or am I?
Yeah, I got injured. Remembering that.
But like, yeah, you know, then you were also starting to pursue music a little bit because you couldn't really handle that same intensity of sports.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the doctor was like, yeah, at one point the doctor was like, if you get another concussion, like you could die. Like you're
really,
you could literally not have like a brain going on anymore. So I was like,
wow,
okay, like that's pretty, you know, I guess that's that. Yeah, I mean, and all of it's coming out now, like the concussions and all these things, and it's a pretty serious thing. So like,
oh, for sure,
I'll be at the cafe and people are like, you ordered but you never paid or anything. I was like, oh yeah, no, sorry about that. Like sometimes I have like little like mental things where I'm just like, is this because of that? Am I just a little bit spacey today? I don't know. I have my own theories, but
yeah, I mean, you had to also seek probably that thrill somewhere else, and that you know, yeah, camaraderie in a way, right, with the music, yeah, scene, because you had that in team sports all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you first released, you know, music, your first single, what was that feeling like to actually put it out into the world?
Unbelievable. An unbelievable feeling. I remember like we had a little like single release party, had a big projector with the music video, and like we did it properly. And like right away that song started streaming really well. I don't know if like Spotify's like, oh, here's a new guy, like let's encourage him. But I was like, what, like this is a real thing. Like make a song about your personal life, get a bunch of people in a room, watch a music video, everyone gives you an applause, and then digitally like people are listening to it. It's like, what a thrill. Like I know music will always be something I just enjoy for myself, but I would definitely argue that there is something that feels really great about sharing it and having people resonate with it. You know, seeing someone like take your song and make like a cover video and then post that themselves because it touched them. It's like, I'm like, what is this? Like Spider-Man, like my brain just like expanding, and or like that meme where like you're expanding out of your body. I don't know if you,
yeah.
Yeah, like that's how it felt. Yeah.
Wow. And do you find that happens every time that you release music?
No, I've had another song that kind of did a lot better than that one, but or resonated a lot more. Who knows exactly how that works, but that first one was actually quite successful, more than most of my music. Yeah. So maybe I was like chasing the dragon, you know?
Well, also it was your first time too.
Yeah, exactly. So raw.
Yeah. Your new single Grow is all about self-growth and remembering the growth that you've had. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I kind of like in the pandemic, I observed, you know, myself, I observed a lot of other people around me, just experienced conflict within themselves, within their like relationships even.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole cancel culture thing and like, what if we were to use struggle and conflict as fertilizer for actually growing as people, growing closer within our relationships, and not seeing adversity and conflict as a bad thing necessarily, you know? Like, what if our skin as these 2023 people gets like a little bit thicker, that we can like push through things that just make most people these days like quit on themselves, on each other? Like, what if we didn't do that? Like, what if we sat in the pain a little bit and used it as fertilizer to grow? Like, yeah. That's the main message. Yeah.
And it's a message that I think people need to hear, right? Rather than being so divisive, to actually, you know, sit and chat with someone. And I've done that before, where a person's views are different than mine, but I've sat there and I've listened to understand why they think that way, or where they're coming from. It doesn't mean that I agree, but no. When you can cordially have a conversation with someone like that, I find it so beneficial, especially in today's day and age, because if you just totally ice out, and of course there's exceptions, like if someone is totally radical or saying some outrageous stuff, of course you can ice them out. Yeah. But if someone just differs, you know, based on your views, it doesn't mean that you have to totally tune them out, because you may want to at least understand where they're coming from to then share your point, right? Rather than being in this echo chamber.
Absolutely. Thought about that deeply like recently, to think like the point of being a human being is to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not to like dull down the entire human experience. Like, it is so diverse and it's so full of this and that and all these amazing things. But like, really simply put, like, the only reason we're here is to just grow, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a beautiful thing, even though it's very simple, in my opinion, you know?
How do you continue to make sure that you grow every day?
Yeah, it's having lots of awareness and reflection, talking to yourself a lot. I don't know. But if you're going to be very aware and talking to yourself a lot, you ought to be nice to yourself.
Yeah.
You ought to be kind to yourself, because you're with yourself all day. So as long as you have like a kind approach to yourself and a positive view of yourself, you are able to like be talking to yourself all day, because like situations just pop up in a second, right? And our prefrontal cortex just flares up with blood and we can't even think anymore and we just want to do the most impulsive thing possible. But if we're continuously walking with ourselves and whatever that force is inside of you that like brings out that best part of you, and you're in good relationship with that, it's like, and you see it as like a kind voice.
Yeah. Know?
It's like, because there's no, I don't think there is like one answer. It's like, you know, right now this is happening. But so I try to really, I mean, people, it's kind of like cliche at this point, but like try to stay like as present as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's where I can like have the most awareness to do that exact thing, like to grow through life. And if like I'm missing each like present moment, like I think growth only happens in like the decisions that we make in the present moment. So like if you're missing every present moment, like you're always in the past, you're always in the future.
Yeah.
You're missing all of those opportunities to grow. And you're like my, you know, my one pothos plant upstairs that has like a pot that's too small. It's just like, it doesn't grow. And it's just like the same size. It's green and everything, but it's just like, oh, it's just there. But yeah, nice to look at, but
it needs a bigger pot.
I think it needs a bigger pot. You know what? That's what I'm going to do after this.
Yeah. But I love that mindset. And it's something that I have to remind myself of as well, yeah. You know, being in the moment And we can be our own worst critic sometimes. And so just being kind to yourself and realizing how far you've come, and even thinking about sometimes like the present moment, how you're living right now is you manifesting that, whether you realize it maybe or not, in the past, right? Your present self is where you once probably wanted to be, potentially.
It was your thought of your future self that you were having in the present at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like we could talk about this for the whole episode.
That's like inception. It's like, whoa.
It's so interesting. I think thanks for sharing that. And even the analogy about the plant too, right? About, you know, sometimes you're confined with what you know rather than thinking bigger. And that plant is just thinking about, or not thinking, but like, you know, in this space, and it's ready to expand, it's ready to grow, but there needs to be that one other step to get there, which I think you can help with a little bit there.
Yeah, I hope music helps me with that for sure.
Yeah,
you know.
So this single Grow, it's coming off your upcoming album, and which is LIT. And I hope I can't wait for that to come out. I think that's a couple months away. But what can fans expect from your upcoming album?
Introspection on the canvas of very enticing musicality. I don't know what the word is.
Ooh.
So I would say the musicality, the beat formation, the production is not boring. The topic matter is like, you know, me living in a hotel for 7 months because I was doing this artist residency, and I'm just like, it's a very luxurious sort of experience, but I was just kind of alone, you know, and sort of just forced to like a lot had happened in my life up until that point. And I was just given this space to like process all of it. So giddy up. Yeah. I hope people like it. Yeah.
So you were in a hotel for 7 months
living there. It was like an artist residency program, the Marriott Residence Inn in Calgary. So they started this really cool program. The GM there was just very like, he's into arts in general. He's like, why don't we do something really cool? So I saw this thing, I applied for it, and they're like, yeah, move on in. I was like,
wow.
All right, bet. Like, sounds good. And like they were just giving me the space to write, create. I'd come down and share. I'd put on little concerts in the lobby every couple of weeks. And the workers at the front desk and the cleaning people, they're like still my family to this day.
Aw. Well, there's something so magical about a hotel, and probably about living there too for 7 months. But I think there's probably also something that feels lonely at times as well, like just being secluded to your room and having everything kind of there already for you, right? I'm sure the food and the cleaning, and it's almost like you don't even have to step outside. It's its own world. So, you know, I guess that would somewhat assist with your introspection, but I'm sure also it could have been tough and lonely.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. No, it was difficult in some ways too. You had to push through the comfort, you know, because some of the best art obviously in this world has been made through like extreme discomfort. So like, so trying to make, it was almost like so comfortable. It was uncomfortable how comfortable it was, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like, I don't know. So LIT, L-I-T stands for Lost in Translation. So Bill Murray movie, Japan, he's there. I don't know if anyone's seen that movie, but it's just a movie about nothing, but about everything at the same time. Like he's just there. He's like, where am I? He's in between. It's a transitional time for him. And yeah, it's like talking about nothing. But I don't know. I think that's also how I'm trying to challenge myself as an artist, because like, such a relatable thing. Like we're often just alone with our own thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just life. Like it's not always this big, exciting thing. Like sometimes it's the calm, like after the storm, you know? So my last mixtape, Don't Worry About Me, that was kind of the storm, you know? And this album is the calm after the storm, the processing. Yeah.
I love the song "Don't Worry About Me."
Yeah,
I love that song. It's so
a little
good.
Bit angry. Yeah.
Yeah, but that emotion comes through, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't do well with that emotion specifically, anger. Mm. I don't really know how it lives in my body and how to, I'm like a very peacemaker, peaceful person. But I've learned how that can also be just a form of me coping with whatever. So really right. Learning how to express anger and
yeah.
Let it out. Was so that song was incredibly and is still very therapeutic for me.
Yeah. Releasing it and getting it out there. I love your covers, especially the As It Was by Harry Styles cover that you recently did.
In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was.
I'd love to put in a formal request for you to sing that to me every night before bed, because perfect. That
will this link so stay cool. Live? We can just
exactly every night. It's just it's so good, and it really. I hope that you release a full version of that, because that was incredible to hear.
Thanks. Yeah, like I would never dig into these songs. I'm really just so releasing my first single in a week. As you said. And so I'm just like, how can I just like engage people in a fun way? Okay, let's do covers. Let's get them to choose which covers I do. Okay, so now I'm looking at these songs that people have chosen, and I'm like looking at these lyrics, and I'm like, wait a second. There's like so much more to this that I don't even understand. Like, but there is something here. And of course, like the original version of that Harry Styles song is like, do, 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 do.
Yeah.
And I think it's brilliant how artists can take something that they're truly going through and just put this bubblegum wrapping on it, because it's kind of more for them, and they know like the masses will just like do 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 kind of just like mindlessly bounce along to this song. But there will be a few people that get the opportunity to sort of break through that layer, that bubblegum wrapping, and figure out like he potentially, in fact, probably is talking about something pretty real in this song. And when you kind of change the format of the song and make it acoustic, make it this, it's like, wait a second, there's more to these people than meets the eye, I think.
100%. And you changing the format, like you said, it really makes you start to think about those lyrics just by just by changing the way that you're expressing it and performing it. And it's a lovely version, and I'm so glad that you're willing to sing it to me every night before bed, moving forward.
Absolutely. This offer lasts forever. Lifetime membership.
So you're a dad now to a daughter, and you've said that she's taught you about life. I'm wondering about what she's taught you and what you hope to teach her.
Malaya has taught me... It's kind of like maybe answering both questions at the same time. But I had this thought, I think, last night, you know, like with relationships, I'm really trying to like I was saying earlier, like increase this like positive self-talk and see myself. My roommate, Johnny, said something about, he read in a book that who we believe our identity to be, influence like our impact in this world. Like, so if I, like, you're even asking me like, oh, how do you see yourself as an athlete or an R&B singer? Like, if I, Jared, believe I am an R&B singer, then that's the truth. Then that's, then I make R&B songs, and then I have maybe a sustainable career that provides for my daughter financially. It's like, if you believe you're a, you know, podcast host and, you know, a journalist in a sense, it's like, that's who I am. Then you do those things and you bring that beauty into the world. And so in relationships, trying to put on a different identity to be like, I'm a good person to be in a relationship with. You know, I'm a good fill in the blank. One thing that's not even been in, it's been like I want to say effortless, because I don't even think about it. It's just being an amazing dad, you mm-hmm. know, just because I enjoy it so much. And it's like, it's addicting. Like my identity, who I call myself, is influences like who I am and what I continue to do and get better at, I guess, grow in. And so I see myself as a good dad, I think, because I also had a good dad. And so like, I naturally just want to recreate all those awesome memories and experiences. And so I don't want to say I haven't had the greatest success like in other relationships in my life, but like I'm single, right? So I've been a boyfriend, right? Before, and obviously I'm not with that person still. Not to say like that automatically means I'm like a failure, but I think that's sort of an example of like how that thought path can go. Like, oh
yeah,
this relationship didn't work out, therefore I'm probably not a good boyfriend, therefore. And that becomes like what I'm like, that becomes my identity as a person in a relationship, is what I'm calling myself. Like, oh, I'm probably not very good at it. I'm probably, versus like in the arena of like being a dad, it's like, no, I am good at it. I am a good dad. How that sort of influences me to be that and to have a super successful relationship with my daughter. And we have an amazing relationship.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what she's teaching me. Like, I am good at relationships, you know, and I have the ability to have like an amazing relationship, because I currently have an amazing relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's what she's teaching me. She's teaching me a lot, like about myself and what I'm capable of, and like healing me a lot there. What I'm teaching her, oh my goodness, I think she's getting quite musical. Like, she loves to play, like, and she loves to sing, even though like there's no like English words coming out yet or anything like that. But I think she's getting really musical, a good sense of rhythm. I'm always singing, you know, we're always like rocking to like Cocomelon in the car and just pumping that all the time. So I think she's learning a little bit of that from me. And I hope that she's just like learning joy and happiness and kindness from me. Cause that's how I try to show up when I'm with her, like an asset-based approach. Like, yeah. Malia, trust me, this world's falling apart, but there are some things about it that are great. And like, why don't we just focus on those things as we have an asset-based approach to this life? Better things will just continue to happen. Or yeah, we can choose to focus on all the negative things that are like valid. They're definitely there. It's like, which pill will we take? Right. A Matrix reference.
Yeah. And you know, you're sharing that unconditional love for her, mm-hmm. as well, that you're always going to be there for her, which I'm sure is great. And it seems like you're doing a great job as a dad.
Thanks.
You talked about being single, and I'm wondering, mm-hmm. you know, if you could describe your perfect person, how would you mm-hmm. describe them?
My perfect person. Oh, it's like
romantically.
Yeah. I like to think I am looking for something in someone that I'm also like striving to be myself.
Mm, yeah.
So someone who, kind of like they have that identity piece sorted out in terms of like who they see themselves as.
Yeah.
I think that's super important. Like, who do you see yourself as? If there's a break in that, or you don't see yourself in this positive way, people are going to be like reaching for all different types of things to feel that affirmation from external sources, right? Mm-hmm. Including you sometimes, like even in a conversation with you, you'll feel like, oh wow, like, there's always like, it's always nice when someone can just, they truly have a good opinion of themselves, or like they know that they have worth and they know that they have value. That always puts me at ease. But you know, I don't think it actually was Nelson Mandela, but people credit it like be the change you want to see in the world. Or like, that's also been said a billion other ways, like whatever you're trying to see in someone else, like be that yourself. And so that's kind of what I'm doing, or at least I'm thinking about, you know. Like, am I settled into what I see my identity to be? And am I content just being that and doing that, you know, making music, showing up for my daughter? Not only am I like accomplishing those things, but like, am I experiencing joy? Like as I'm doing, cause it's pointless to be a dad or be a musician if you don't have fun doing either.
Yeah.
Or if you're not experiencing joy while doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just truly like, I don't know, trying like these words, like trying and all that. I don't like those words, but I guess you could say I'm trying to like be there and sink deeper and deeper into that reality. Because I do know that that is what I'm attracted to in other people for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you bet.
And when you're writing music, are you usually thinking of a certain person from your past or a bunch of different people? Is there kind of that one person that's usually your muse?
In the past, yeah.
Yeah.
to be honest, but have shifted, I think, from her, from that.
Okay.
In present day, which is good and such a weight off my shoulders, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. And like, I just want to be more of like an observer of this life that we're living, you know? And even if I'm not attached emotionally, internally to like a romantic partner, there's still lots to sing about. Like if you were to tell me about your relationship experience, like I could put that in a song or, or even like, I think it's totally fair to like draw on past for me. Like I'll draw on past experiences of how I felt in the past about something and just put it on for fun as a present feeling, even though it's like, I'm not even there. And I think that's sometimes where people get confused. They're like, oh, is this song about this person? It's like, well, yeah, it was, but it's not currently how I feel, but
yeah,
it shouldn't even matter anyways. Like I hope people just give people creative liberties to sing about, you know, what they want to sing about.
Do you ever get that text or phone call of the person being like, I heard your new song?
Yeah. Well, never. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate, you know, it's like maybe the one person you want to do that or to say that that's the person who never will. Right.
Yeah, but they're still listening, I think. they may not want to admit it, but they're still checking up on you probably.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, you've likened the songwriting process and putting out music kind of like therapy or journaling. And, you know, a lot of people would keep their journal to themselves, or, you know, they write in it expecting no one to ever see it. So what's that like for you to really, you know, put a pen to paper with how you're feeling and being so vulnerable and then releasing it into the world? You're kind of releasing your own journal into the world.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Like I find it, I think if I stop and think about it long enough, I'm like, okay, that is weird. And that is like, why do I do that? But maybe I just don't think about it that deeply. Like I only think about as far as I'm writing it, I'm making music about it. And I know that usually after I do that, I send an email to my manager with the file of the song. And then I don't really know what happens after that. And so I just, that's as far as my brain goes. And then I go back to the beginning. So it still remains like a personal experience for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that it becomes public, I just don't even think about, because my hope is that people aren't like, I'm confident that people aren't thinking about me in my life when they're listening to my music. I would hope they're thinking about themselves and their life.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole point, you know?
For sure. No, definitely. Yeah. And sometimes if an artist is too literal in sharing the meaning of the songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can almost take away the magic of listening to it as a listener and putting your own meaning to it.
Totally. Or if I get very specific, like they're like, I can relate, you know, I've been there too. And I can relate with that myself for me. Like, I really hope, you know, like I'm using it as therapy. The music itself doesn't actually come. It comes to me. It's not from me, you know, it's a gift as well that I caught for a moment and just kind of passing on. Yeah.
I love that. Passing on your talent, sharing it with the world.
Yes, being a good diligent filter, hopefully.
Yeah. What would you say, if you feel comfortable sharing this, was the toughest time in your life?
Probably my like a breakup, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, I think it has to do with like that identity piece. Like I was in a relationship. I was just like, you know what? I don't want to like keep, I don't want to date, you know, I don't want to just be like, you know? And so I was like, okay, I'm find a relationship that seems great. And I'm just going to sink into this. Like no matter kind of what happens, negative, positive, like that just all comes with it. It comes with anyone that you end up with, you know, it's not all positive. It's not all negative. So I really like sunk my heels in to be like, this won't fail or this won't fall apart no matter what. I can be kind of like stubborn if I really put my head to something. And there were some unhealthy things about it, I think, on both sides that maybe we didn't deal with or whatever. But I was just like refusing to let it fail. And I think that's what made it so hard when I had to let it go. Like I realized I couldn't fix it. I couldn't keep digging my heels in to like not let it die until the point where I had to like literally like force it from my grip myself. That was a very difficult but very formative experience for me, because my identity isn't, you know, a boyfriend, a husband of fill in the blank. Like my identity is me, is who I am. Whether I'm in a 20-year long marriage or whether I've been single for 20 years, you know, it's like both of those scenarios don't change my true identity of who I am. It's not dependent on anything I do or accomplish. It's like it has to do with who I am, you know. And we're not as in control as we think we are, you know. And there's such a liberty and freedom and joy that comes from like letting go of all this stuff that we're not meant to like be in control of anyways.
Yeah.
Like I can control how nice I talk to myself each day.
Yeah.
You know, I can catch myself and be like, well, that's this part of my brain going this way. I can.
Yeah.
Like that's, and even some days are difficult with that. Right.
Yeah.
But like that is the entire effort of life, is to just have some awareness of that area instead of like trying to control everything else around us. Cause it's like, it's not productive, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, learning that lesson was like super painful. I remember I cried some pretty aggressive tears.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, and then like difficult stuff happened right after that too, you know? Like the birth of my child wasn't expected. There's more to the story, but basically, you know, had dinner with a friend and we had a baby, right? And that was a shock at the time, to be like, whoa, what does this mean? Like, am I ready? Like, I mean, I've always wanted to be a dad. So I think there was like a thing that kind of like, even if I was like shitting myself and panicking, there was a small part of me of like, no, you will love this eventually. Like, this is a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
But there was an element of that that was definitely difficult. But I think because I had just processed and went through what I would call like the most difficult thing in my life, it equipped me to have a better chance at surviving the next thing and the next thing, you know?
Thanks for opening up about that. And
yeah, dude, anytime.
Yeah. And even you sharing, you know, you had those moments where you were crying. And I think it's something that a lot of men don't necessarily talk about, which is mental health. And, you know, as someone who just opened up about that, and you seem so vulnerable with your music, how do you ensure to keep your mind healthy?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of answers to your questions on the spot, but I think maybe a key to it is, like what you just said, is like feeling what you feel, you know, like let yourself feel things, you know?
Yeah.
In general, like I just watched his episode 3 of The Last of Us, the new HBO zombie show. Anyways,
yeah,
there's a really nice sort of relationship in, I think, episode 3. And I was just like a soppy mess afterwards, you know?
Aww.
And it felt really good. I'm like, yeah, wow, this is what it means to be human, you know?
Yeah.
Just feel things and be present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it out too.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So if you were sitting with your younger self, younger Jared was sitting in front of you, what would you tell him?
That you are super talented, that you are going to be a great dad, that you have an amazing family and you know it now, but it will always remain an amazing family and your memories and experiences with those people are only going to get better. That you are going to continue to be a curious person, you know, exploring life. And that might not be the most solid kind of predictable sort of life path of, you know, go to school, get this job, do that thing, get this house, you know, that'll be more of like a go to school, get a job, get this house, lose that house, maybe another one, maybe start another job, different job, maybe explore your passion with music, you know, and just fall in love with it and let yourself be, and you will allow yourself to truly do what you're passionate about eventually. Mm-hmm. I might encourage that person to like let themselves do that now and like not feel so pressured by like what that person feels like they should do.
What the younger Jared would have felt like there's the pressure, maybe.
Yeah, I think like should, I would have just removed that word from his vocabulary.
Mm.
It's like, there is no should. Like, who's the rule maker of what you should do?
Yeah.
What? Where did that word ever come from? You know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But me doing what I thought I should do, I think there was a little bit of like, I always let myself just be curious. And so within the parameters of what I should do, I had like incredible experiences, you know, like I studied in international development. I worked and traveled in like 38 countries. I was away for 6 years, lived in Africa for a while, like all these things that it was still kind of in the parameters of what I felt like I should do, but expanded my worldview like drastically.
Yeah.
And my music wouldn't be the same as it is now, for example. So yeah, I think it was like, you know, I just tell him like, keep doing what you're doing, but just like more grace for yourself.
Mm.
You know, kinder words for yourself.
Yeah.
You're okay.
I mean, even hearing you talk about that, it made me feel emotional. Do you feel emotional when you're thinking about that and talking to yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I just like, first of all, I had no idea I'd have, like, I know I'm just like cliche, but I didn't think I was capable of having like a more amazing kid come from me somehow.
Aww.
Like I wouldn't have been able to predict, like, she's so cute. First of all, obviously she's so much more than that, but like, it's insane. Like even people that I know, they're like, what the heck? Like this kid is way too cute. I'm like, I know. I have no idea how that sort of came from me. Like red beard, all these things like that. I would have never been able to predict that in a million years. Like, yeah, she blows my mind.
Oh, thanks for sharing all of that and opening up.
I could go on and on.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Do you have a favorite lyric that you've written?
Yeah, in my song Garden, and that song is just about being yourself, your identity, your love, being in this garden is this magical place, you know, of like just freedom, you know, nakedness, like quote unquote, or literally it doesn't matter. The first line is, it's not that you come to me, it's how you do it.
It's not that you come to me, it's how you do it. It's how you're doing it.
So for me, it's not like what I'm doing in this life. It's like how I'm doing it. It's not like, oh, I do something nice for someone. Cool. But like, how did you do it? Like, mm-hmm. how did you say that? Like, where was your heart? Where is your heart at? Like,
yeah,
that question that cripples us, like, where is your heart at? Like, what's going on? What's really going on? You know, it's like I think it's a quick lyric and most people just glaze over it, but it's like not that you do this. It's how it matters. Like the things we do in this world, like kind of matter, sort of like, oh yeah, you accomplished all this. You did all these great things, but like, who really cares? Like, who were you through that process? Like, how did you do what you did? That would be what influenced how much joy you felt through that. That would have influenced how much joy you made other people feel through that. And like, those things matter way, way more, in my opinion, than like what we accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like how we accomplish them.
You said it so well, and that's a great lesson to learn. And it's interesting because, you know, leading up to this interview, I was listening to more of your music. I'd obviously checked it out before, but this morning I was listening just on shuffle, just on Apple Music. Wow. Yeah. And Garden came on and I was like, oh, what's this song? And I actually like looked at the title and saw the beautiful album art of the fort, like lots of greenery.
Japanese garden. Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. And there's so many mixes of sounds in there. I think I may have heard an electric guitar riff. There was some kind of riff in there. I don't know if it was electric guitar, but it was like, it was a vibe. And I love the song. it was so good. And I love the song Good Days by SZA. I don't know if you know that song, but
yeah, I love that song.
I'm that is obsessed an amazing with that song. I don't know if that... I literally every night I listen to that song, and I don't know if that inspired you at all, but I definitely got a little bit of a vibe of that. And I definitely clicked with that song and the meaning behind it. And about being your true self and opening up. And I almost got a vibe of kind of living in the present. And I think that that's why it reminded me of Good mm-hmm. Days a little bit as well.
It's a massive compliment. Thank you. I love that song. Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those songs. It's like, oh yeah, pop R&B radio. Da, da, da. But wait a sec. It could be the most profound song of our generation. Like potentially there's so much more to that song that I want to even like dive deeper into. I think there's so much there. That song blows my mind. Yeah.
I agree. I think we could do a whole podcast episode, literally dissecting.
Probably dissect. I love that podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard about that podcast. Dissect, it's called.
Yeah, you should check it out. It is.
It's about music?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, literally, you know, but like even the lyrics in that song, like too soon I spoke and, you know, mm-hmm. living in the present because it's right now and talking mm-hmm. about youth. And
yeah,
I agree with you. There's just so much more to it and just scratching the surface. And that song reminds me of that meme that you're talking about where you have your headphones in and you're levitating.
Yep. I want to cover it, but I want to do it like, well, you know,
please cover that song. And you can even incorporate it as you're singing As It Was to Me to bed. You can Perfect. Add in and Good Days.
This is going to be a nightly concert. little set.
Yeah.
For Ryan. I'm into it.
I feel like a VIP. So.
Yeah. Well, you should. You are very important.
Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. I have two more questions for you here and then we'll wrap it up. I'm curious to know how, you know, TikTok and social media and even like radio, how that's maybe impacted your music, right? Because people are listening in different ways. They're looking for different things in music. Of course, there's a lot of people that listen to the albums full form and, you know, it's an art, but I think there's a lot of people that want that quick 15-second catchy tune. Has that impacted your music at all?
I think so. Like that is a wasteland that's so hard to like fully analyze and understand properly. I think, first of all, I think with TikTok specifically, because I think it is what kind of makes or breaks like a musician's career right now. Like, I could be wrong on that, but I might not be wrong about that.
Yeah.
I think there's so much pressure around it as a creator. Like, oh, again, like the evil word should, you know, like I should be on TikTok. I should be doing more TikToks. I should be posting every day. I should. I mean, the reality is like you should, but like don't think about it that way. I think where I've maybe found some success with it is having more joy and more focus be on like what I'm creating and just like getting my hands dirty, like in the dirt, creating things and then post it on TikTok. It's like all my focus, all my focus, all my focus. Oh yeah. And then,
yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, you, instead of like, oh, I should be like, I'm making something right now. Like, what are they going to like on TikTok? Like all my energy and thoughts are still on TikTok as I'm even creating. Right. And it's like, oh, it's like this big TikTok stress. I don't think that's like a productive stress. Where I've found a lot of enjoyment in this experience of like engaging TikTok more is like just at my desk, like making, you know, I'm getting more joy out of like, the lyrics page on Google than TikTok, you know, like reading through the lyrics of like, say if I'm doing a cover and with my guitar in my own hands and playing it with my own voice and and being like, whoa, like Harry Styles, like said, what, like with this and like, it feels like this in my body. And like, again, that meme, like my body is leaving myself. Right.
Yeah.
And then I post it to TikTok, done. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
And it's important to do it, but it's like, again, the only point for us to do music or anything in life is like, do we have joy doing it? Are we, do we feel like, is it expanding us? Do we feel good about it?
Mm-hmm.
And if like you feel like with the whole experience with anything, like you're just not feeling very good, or you're feeling pressure or feeling like not good enough. Cause I think social media just, it's so easy to let it just be this thing that reminds you of like how you're not good enough. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm not this enough. Totally separate from like my experience, like learning a song, playing it, making my own content, like making this music video that I'll drop too, like that I made with my little brother and him filming it. And like, do you like this scene? Do you like that one? I'm like, nah, I like that scene. I don't know about this one. And again, our hands are dirty. Like we're creating, of course we're going to post it to TikTok.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's like a rambling way to like hopefully express how I feel about social media and how it's the tool to launch you and to put food on the bread for my little girl and everything like that, for sure. But don't let it be your master. be its master, you know?
Wow. I think that you phrased that so well. And, you know, it's something that I'm kind of similar, you know, creating, you know, podcast content or video content and spending all this time editing the long form of it. Right. And of course you're thinking throughout it, oh, this could be a cool clip to encompass, you know, what the interview is about. But I get the excitement about creating the long form and then I'll maybe pick a clip and then I get excited about, okay, now I can transform this clip into sharing it in a more TikTok format, but I'm not creating the content just for that. That makes sense.
And say if there's like a quick clip that you really liked, as you're creating that quick clip and posting it, you have joy remembering how fun it was in that moment talking about that thing with that person. Yeah. And that's what's consuming you.
Yes.
But of course you're making a quick little clip and you're posting it. You're just assuming it'll have that same effect on other people. Yeah. But like right now, like we've never met before. And here we are like having a really great conversation and connecting, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
That needs to be what it's like literally all about. Like almost all of it needs to be about that. There's like 1.001% of it that is like, take this, edit it, post it to TikTok.
Yeah.
But like literally all of it, the whole point of it all is like, it's just this. It's like the joy that we feel right now in doing this, you know?
Aw, thanks, Jared. I'm having fun too.
Yeah. It's like that, like class. I'm becoming more and more of like a dad. Like, aren't we having fun? Just have to like name like what's going on. Like, isn't this fun?
Yeah. Do you have any
Yeah.
dad jokes yet?
Oh, I'm full of them. Like
Really?
I've always had that swag too, like dad style, like everything I
Oh.
wear, like big chunky New Balances. Like it's just, I've been a dad, I feel like, my whole life.
Yeah.
And I'm just not afraid to like make a bit of a fool of myself. People are like, oh, he's dad jokes, but like I know I'm being that dad, but I also just like love it, you know?
Well, I mean, you do have that cool style, and it's interesting how it's gone
Thanks.
back because, like, back in the day, people, I feel like growing up, you'd be like, oh, that style. You'd see old photos, and you're like, oh, that
Yeah.
style's weird. Like, what were we doing? And then now it's like, I literally got
Completely.
invited to a 90s party tonight. I'm
Oh,
like,
amazing.
this is the style, though, that people are rocking now again.
Yeah, it's true. Exactly. And you might, like, for me, I wouldn't need to change a thing. I just show up. It's just like
Yeah.
perfect. Yeah. Dad jokes, though, all the time. All the time.
You
But
have
I,
one for
you know,
us
they're
right
just
now.
off the cuff. Oh, dad joke off the cuff.
It's okay
I
if you
think
don't.
like that one is just like that. I think that's so funny. Like that dad or that mom that's just like out of literally nowhere.
Yeah.
Aren't we having fun? Like,
Yeah.
I was having fun until you said
Yeah.
that. But now it's like, now I'm not having fun. Yeah. There, I have more of a dry, you'll find if we, you know, I have more of a dry kind of British sense of humor, you know, a little bit dry, dark. It's a dark sense of humor, but not in like a twisted way, just like
Oh,
dry.
that was a pretty good accent.
Sarcastic. Yeah, you know, I really identify as a British person.
Really?
I truly, and like R&B, like Craig David and like Nipah, like this new R&B, like all these
Yeah.
people, like, you know, Georgia Smith, all these people. I'm like, I wish. I love it. I studied in Scotland and I go to London a lot. And so I don't know. I just love that. I love it so much. But I'm not British. I am maybe like ancestrally, but it's a fake accent. But I love to put it on.
It was pretty good. Have you ever done that at the bar? Like in the past, did you ever put on a British accent and have a whole identity?
Yep. I have.
It work out for you?
Mean, to find work out, like, I think when anyone goes to a club hoping that night will work out, it's like it never does. You know, this isn't the type of energy we need.
Oh,
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that you said that you identify as a British person.
I do. I truly do. Like, if I'm being honest with myself, I do.
No,
Yeah.
it was good. It's pretty good. All right, so final question here, and I love asking people this question. If you had a movie or a biography, you know, about your life, what would the title of that be?
Title of my life. It's like shameless plug, bro.
Okay. I mean, I do think that that would be a great title.
Yeah, it would, because it would leave everything on the table. Like all the
Yeah.
situations that where I grew, you know, like that would make it into the movie. And those are all like
Yeah.
the juicy bits. Like, you know, the main character has to go through something in order for the movie to be interesting, I think.
Like being turned down at a bar for his British
Your
accent.
British accent, exactly. It'll mainly be about that. It'll actually be like, you know, like that movie Phone Booth, where it's all like in the phone booth. The whole movie will be like me in the club acting as a British person.
That's a great movie, though.
Yeah,
I really liked
exactly.
that movie, so
Right? Underrated.
I think that's awesome. Thank you for that title, Grow.
You're
I'd
welcome.
be down to see that movie.
Wait, is it called Grow? Or is it called, you know, Impersonation? Either way,
Oh,
British.
impersonation.
No, we'll go with Grow. We'll go with Grow. It'll be that
Grow.
movie. Yeah.
Okay. It's a little mysterious. It's like,
Right.
what's growing? What's the vibe? What's the story here?
It could be a zombie movie. It could be like a
Oh.
fungal growth that's infecting people's
Oh.
brains. That's the thing, you don't know. That's what gets people.
You don't know, and that's what gets people. And I can't wait for people to get to know you better with your upcoming music coming out and LIT coming out. I guess we should expect that around summertime, right?
Yes, in June. Yep.
Okay. I'm excited for all of that. And I just want to thank you for sharing your story with us today and opening up. And I felt like I really learned a lot from you, and I enjoyed our conversation. So thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. This was so much fun. And looking forward to these nightly concerts.
Yes, we got to schedule those.
Perfect.
And there's a 2-hour time difference, so that works out for you, right? I'm going to bed. You're still up. You still have the energy.
This is going to work for me.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jared.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. See ya.